Good evening and welcome to the Drury Basketball Coaches Show. We are live at the Pitch Pizza and Pub in the Southern Hills Shopping Center in East Sunshine as the Drury men's basketball team is our focus today on the Drury Basketball Coaches Show here on KICK. I'm Ed Beach. We'll be joined on the show today by assistant coach Mark Sonnen and Drury forward Reek Reek. Will be a part of our show as we return to the air with Drury men's basketball. Head coach Chris Foster, who missed Saturday's game with the flu, still ailing and is under the weather, so not able to join us tonight. But as we mentioned, assistant coach Mark Sonnen is alongside. A little later on, we'll talk to Drury forward Reek Reek. But the last, first time we've been here in a while with Drury men's basketball. Had the life in balance break and the holiday hiatus for a couple of weeks around the Christmas season late in December, and so it's been about a month since we've been here. It's also been about a month since we've been, actually been exactly a month since we've been at home on our home floor. That'll change this week as the Panthers have home games coming up on Thursday and Saturday. We'll talk about those as we go along in the show today, but Mark Sonnen alongside. Coach, thanks for joining us. First of all, have you checked in with Coach Foster? How is he today and hopefully getting better? Now it's been a few days since he's been out.
Yeah, thank you for having me. He's feeling a little bit better. I think one more day to give him a little bit of rest, you know, get some more medicine will help. And I think he said he's going to be able to come back tomorrow and should be ready to go.
It's tough. Things are going around. Even our leader, vice president, director of athletics, Nyla Millicent, has also been out of the office for a couple of days with a similar illness. And I know she hopes to get back by when we got home games this week, Thursday and Saturday. And a lot going on besides basketball on those 2 days in the O, which we'll have a chance to talk about coming up a little bit later on in our show. Trying to get things turned around a bit. I know it's hard. I mean, a couple of losses last week, but so many things went better. So I know part of the challenge as coaches has to be that you got a lot what you wanted, didn't have the outcome and a result. How hard is that to work through as you try to keep things going in the right direction or kind of have things turn where you wanted it to be, yet didn't quite get wins at Lincoln and against a really good Missouri S&T squad?
Yeah, you know, our last two games were tough, but I thought we took steps forwards after the Kansas City trip. And you know what's hard is when you lose, you know, four games in a row, as you're coaching these guys, trying to keep them focused, trying to keep them to stay with it. They've been doing a good job of, you know, coming in every day with a good attitude, buying into what we're coaching them. And they made progress. You know, I thought after our Kansas City trip, we had three of our best practices. And that's hard to do after two losses like that. And going into that Lincoln game on the road against a really good team at home, who's big and physical, I thought that first half we struggled a little bit to make shots. But I thought we started to, you know, do a better job in the second half, playing the way we wanted to play, doing the things that we've talked about as a program, trying to move the ball, trying to defend. And I thought in the second half, we came up short, you know, just down that stretch, which hurt us a little bit. But I thought our guys, you know, coming back, playing against a, you know, number 17 team in the country at their place is never an easy thing on the road. And I thought our guys in that first half really came out, and I thought they played a pretty dang good first half. We made some shots. I thought we turned the ball over a little bit too much, and that's probably why we were, you know, down at five. We watched film on Monday, and we showed them some of these clips, and, you know, just some of those little mistakes that they have the control over to change. If we would have had a couple of those go our way in that first half, we go from down five to up five at halftime. And that's sometimes the biggest thing against a team like S&T, that they don't make many mistakes, and when you make mistakes, they really make you pay for it. I thought we did a good job in the half court defending them, making them take long twos or long contested threes. But when you allow a team like them to get out in transition off turnovers, get offensive rebounds and score, it's a lot harder to try to defend them that way.
Talking about those two games, break it down a little bit more than that. Also, we'll preview what's ahead. McKendry comes to the O'Reilly Family Event Center on Thursday. Maryville on Saturday afternoon. Be good to be back at home. Haven't been there literally in a month. It's been four in a row on the road, and then we had a road game right before the holidays on the 21st in Arkansas before that. So it's been since December 16th since Drury's last home game, but they're on Thursday night and on Saturday afternoon. Preview of those games coming up, and also a little breakdown and talk about what's more specifically went better. Also a visit with forward Reek Reek a little bit later on in our show. This is the Drury Basketball Coaches Show, live from the Pitch Pizza and Pub, and we're back after this. We are back at the Pitch Pizza and Pub. This is the Drury Basketball Coaches Show. We are with Drury Assistant Coach Mark Sonnen, sitting in on the show with four, head coach Chris Foster, who's out with the flu. He missed Saturday's game in Rowlett, Missouri S&T, and hopefully on the mend, and hoping to see him back on the sideline on Thursday when we're back at home. Again, the Drury Panthers, along with the Drury Lady Panthers, with home games on Thursday and Saturday of this week. Starts with the women's game at 5:45 on Thursday, men's game to follow. Then on Saturday, the women's game is at 1, the men's game at 3 against Maryville. More on that in a little bit later on during our show. It's talking with assistant coach Mark Sonnen, and you referenced the two games last week, both battles. You know, it wasn't like the Kansas City trip was, you know, disastrously bad on the floor. I mean, there was one really tough half against William Jewell, and you almost came all the way back in that game in the second half to get close. And then Rockhurst was kind of an ebb and flow where, you know, you pull tight, they pulled back ahead, you kind of, and it kind of swung back and forth. Definitely a lot closer than the final score showed.
Yes.
But obviously, as coaches, you saw a lot that you wanted fixed right away. And then got that, and as we said right before the break, that's kind of the tough part about the two losses last week, that you had a lot swing the positive way, the right way, but didn't quite get the outcomes. But as you went through it, what did you see specifically that was a lot better in terms of how the team played on Thursday?
Yeah, you know, one of the things we talked about coming out of that Kansas City trip was what we call unscripted points. Coach Miles kind of went through to see, you know, how we're giving up points on the defensive end. And a lot of it starts with how we are playing on the offensive end. So when he went through how he kind of described the unscripted points was, one, points off of turnovers. So when you turn the ball over, what does the team do as far as scoring? The other part is offensive rebounds. The other part is bad shot selections that lead to easy shots in transition. And so when you go through those, he calls it unscripted because it's not a set, it's not a play a team's running. It's kind of something they do, you know, either it's through our mistakes on the offensive end or our mistakes on the defensive end not blocking out. And what we talked about was trying to get that number of where we were after that weekend against those two opponents and trying to get them down. And we kind of showed them what those numbers were like as far as in our wins and then what those numbers were like as far as in our losses. And there was a big, you know, difference, almost 10 to 15 points between the two, that when we won, that number was a lot lower, and it allowed us to, you know, to be a better defensive team, but it was because of what we were doing a lot of times on the offensive end. And I thought going into that Lincoln and S&T game, that was some of our plans, was how can we limit turnovers, how can we take the right shots, and then how can we block out. And there was areas in those two games that I thought we did a good job in those areas, but I felt like, especially in the S&T game, it got away from us as far as turnover-wise and offensive rebounds. We didn't make some shots early on in that Lincoln game, but I thought we still played hard. We're playing together, and we kind of limited some of our turnovers in that first half. And then that second half, I thought we started to make more shots. And when teams make more shots on the offensive end, it gives them a little more juice and energy to play with throughout that game, both on offense and defense. And I think it opens some things up throughout that second half for other guys to get, you know, if it's drives to the rim, playing off 2 feet, or if it's extra passes on kickouts, those made shots start to open those things up. And I thought versus Lincoln, we had some guys that did a great job stepping up, trying to make big plays. And we put ourselves in a position on the road against a really good team that's really good at the home, that we put ourselves in a position to try to win a game and ended up losing, you know, at that last second. But our guys fought hard in that second half. You know, we were able to press a little bit, get a couple turnovers, score some buckets. And we were down two with a guy with a ball in our hands to try to score and tie it up or win it. And I thought, you know, anytime as a coach or a program, you're always trying to put your guys in a position to have success and have a chance to win at the end of the games. And I thought in Lincoln, we had that at the end. We just didn't do the best we could at that moment. Coming back to S&T, I thought the first half we played great. We turned the ball over a little bit too much, but we were able to make shots. We were able to move that basketball. And I felt like in the second half that started to get away from us a little bit. And I feel like some of those habits, some of those things we talked about from that Kansas City trip started to come out a little bit more in that S&T game.
The Lincoln game was a slugfest. They're not in just huge in terms of what you, when you look at their lineup. I mean, they've got some strong guys at about every position, but my goodness, they were physical. One of the things that, that had to please you and was impressive to see from our guys is them matching the physicality. You know, you're not, you know, whining about something you didn't get in terms of a whistle. You know, you just knew, hey, if this is the way this is going to be, we gotta be the same way. And that's, and that game was just kind of a gritty 2-point game. Missouri S&T, impressive, 11-1 now, 5-0 in the league. They moved up to 15th in the country. And you're right, the margin for error isn't much against them. I guess the exciting thing, though, was at times in that first half, you know, kind of outplaying them in a stretch and seeing that the gap isn't huge between what right now is the best team in the league and someone ranked 15th and where your team is right now. Whereas I think maybe the last couple of years, look at the top teams in the conference, that gap was a little bigger. Now it looks like we'll see these guys again March 1. You can look forward to that one as opposed to kind of circling it going, I don't know about that one. But that's, they're certainly beatable. Whereas, you know, that's making some strides, and that I'm not sure you could say that against the top teams in the conference the last few years.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I think our conference is probably different than what it's been in the past, where sometimes there's those one or two or three teams at the top, and then everybody kind of falls in after them. I think in our league, you know, you have S&T at the top, who's undefeated in conference, ranked 15th. But I feel like if you can make shots against them and you can correct some of those mistakes and not give them the ball, turning it over and blocking them out and making them have to play more in the half court, I think they're just like a lot of college teams. I think in today's game, anybody's beatable, but you got to be able to play the game the right way, and you got to be able to take what you're doing and what your scout is and trying to do that on the floor. And that was an area I thought in the first half we did a solid job against a good team on the road. But in the second half, you don't correct some of those mistakes. In the second half, you let some of those get away from you. Now that score goes from 5 points to 10 points and 10 points to 15. And that's when it gets a lot harder to try to catch back up on the road against a quality team like them.
We talked about this in the pregame on Lincoln and getting Zach Howell going, because he was pretty well shut down by William Jewell and Rockhurst a couple of weeks ago. And he didn't have a great shooting game against Lincoln, but still found ways to score, giving you 16 points. That felt huge at the time. And then against Missouri S&T, those shots started to drop for him a little bit more, 20 points against the Miners on Saturday. What was able to change for him? What were you able to do to get him some better looks? And what did he do for himself to kind of be able to get those points and give you the offense that you needed, especially when the three-point ball wasn't dropping for him on Thursday against Lincoln?
Yeah, that's, you know, with Zach, obviously he's going to be a guy that's on the top of every team's scouting report. Just like we do scouting reports, we're trying to shut down the other team's main guys. And so what teams are going to try to do is they're going to try to take away the best part of his game, which is his ability to catch and shoot. He's an unbelievable shooter, especially if you give him any daylight. And so what teams are going to do is try to take that away. And I thought in the Lincoln game, he started to do a great job of being a screener. And sometimes when you're a guy that's getting denied or they're trying to take away that part of your game, when you become a screener, you start to open up other guys' shots or being able to get other guys open. And now what starts to happen later on in that game is it ends up opening you up a lot more, because now your defender has to help a little bit. And I thought he did a good job in that first half trying to get guys open by setting screens. There's a couple plays we've run that allows him to do that. And then he had to work on sometimes getting downhill when teams try to take away that shot, being able to get downhill, attack long closeouts, and play off 2 feet. And there's times in that game that, you know, he did a good job playing off 2 feet if it was getting free throws or if it was kicking that ball out. And I think that allowed him to get going. And then in that S&T game, you know, what I've told him is when you can find that easy first one, it makes some of those shots later on in the game a little bit easier. And I thought he found some easy ones early where he's able to knock them down, get that confidence. And now some of those tougher shots, if it's in transition, if it's coming off any type of screen off the move, those shots become a lot easier. The hoop's a little bit bigger. And I thought he did a good job in that first half against S&T getting the easy ones right away. And some of that comes back to his teammates. I think as a good team, you have to understand where the ball has to get to and how to get it there. And I felt like in the first half, the ball was finding the right guy. Sometimes it was Z, sometimes it was other guys, but I felt like the ball moved, and when the ball moves, it allows the ball to get to the open guy with space, and now that guy just has to make that decision to either shoot or pass it or dribble it. And I thought in that first half it allowed Z to get more freedom. And when he can get going, it's just going to open up the floor for others. It's kind of like if App were to get going or Jacques could get going or any of our guys. Once one guy is able to knock some shots down, they're a little bit more important to the defense. And now other guys can start taking advantage of that.
Logan Applegate, too, Thursday had 23 points in a huge second half against Lincoln. And then a good second half against Missouri S&T to try to keep us in it. For a while, finished with 10 points in that game. And kind of the same way with Howell in that respect of can score in more ways than just behind the three-point line. I think people remember the threes and kind of a show you can put off or put on from long range and long distance and maybe hit a couple in a row. When certainly we've seen from both guys, Howell this year and throughout Applegate's career, that they can get to the basket, they can do more than just shoot threes. As players, though, can you get into that habit where you're just kind of thinking about behind the three-point line, either settle for that or not really looking to get to the rim as much?
Yeah, I think in today's game, the three-point shot has become so big. And I think it becomes sometimes when you're a good three-point shooter or a guy that shoots them, I think it becomes easy to just rely on that. And I think as players, as you mature and you get older and you grow as a player, I think understanding when they are the right shots and when also, all right, maybe I can keep the ball moving on this one, or maybe it's a long, hard closeout. They're trying to take away my three now. Maybe I got to drive it to either get to the rim and play off 2 feet or be able to spray it out and find shooters along with that. And I think that's a part of all players' growth, is not always relying and needing to shoot those threes, but still knowing that's a big part of your game, that you can have success and you can have the team, you know, give them success. And so I think those two guys are growing, figuring out when they can look for their shots. Because I think they're two guys, you know, along with maybe Elijah and along with Quentin, I think those are four guys on our team. And maybe you add Cannon in there, that if they have an open shot, especially one where it's the ball gets touched in the paint and it gets kicked out, those are good shots that we want our guys taking. Those are the right shots. Those are shots that they've practiced since they were, you know, 5, 6 years old with their parents throwing the ball out, coming from the inside the paint. And I think that's important, is understanding what are the right shots for you as a player and what are the right shots for you for our team.
Maybe more on the art of that later on in the show, as we're with Jury assistant basketball coach Mark Sonnen with the Jury Panthers. Ricky Reek alongside as well. This is the Jury Basketball Coaches Show, live from the Pitch Pizza and Pub on East Sunshine. We're back with more of our Coaches Show. Also a preview of what's coming up at the O this week. This Jury is at home against McKendree Thursday night and Maryville on Saturday afternoon. More from our show when we continue after this on KICK. Back at the Pitch Pizza and Pub in the Southern Hills Shopping Center in East Sunshine. This is the Jury Basketball Coaches Show. Ed Beach along with Jury Assistant Coach Mark Sonnen. A little bit later on, we'll talk to Jury Forward Reek here on the show. Again, Jury Basketball is at home on Thursday. Back at home finally for the first time in about a month as the Panthers host McKendree Thursday night. Starts with the women's game at 5:45, followed by the men's game right after that. A lot going on promotionally as well this week. Thursday, we want to mention that the women's team has partnered with the Rebound Foundation. That was an organization founded by former Missouri State head coach and his wife. That's Dana and Christina Ford. It's an organization that assists victims of domestic violence and abuse in Southwest Missouri. They have a shelter, among other things. And that game, Thursday, is featured as a rebound challenge contest, with a goal of raising $10,000 that night for that organization. So hope you can make it out to Thursday's game and help out what is a great organization in Southwest Missouri, the Rebound Foundation. That's coming up on Thursday when the Panthers host McKendree. Again, the women's game underway at 5:45 and the men's game to follow. Assistant coach Mark Sonnen is alongside. McKendree has been one of the better teams in this conference for the last couple of years. Our guy, Chris Foster, the head coach, again, ailing and can't be with us today as he's under the weather, but had a lot to do with that, really built that program, kind of rebuilt it. They'd gone through some hard times going Division II, and he built what turned out to be a conference championship team. They won the title 2 years ago in the GLVC, have had very good teams now for the last 3 or 4 years, and another good one coming in that we'll see at the O'Reilly Family Event Center. They've had some new personnel. It's a different-looking roster, but a solid club. What are we in for on Thursday? What do you like about the Bearcats as they come to Springfield?
Yeah, they're a very solid team, very well coached. They have guys that really play hard. You know, we just went through the scout today with our team, and they even recognize they got a lot of guys that can really score the ball, can shoot the ball. They really move it well. They have a lot of really good pieces as far as athleticism, some size, some skill. And so it's going to be a game that we really got to be locked in as a team. I think when you look at some of their main guys, you know, they can do more than one thing. So it isn't that they can just catch and shoot three or they can just put the ball on the floor. And I think when guys are multidimensional, you have to really be on top of your defense, got to be really be on top of your offense, and you got to really be focused in on every little thing, because a team that's well coached is they're going to be ready to go. And when you play a team in our league, I think it doesn't really matter what their record is. I think you can't look at records, no matter if it's in conference or overall, because you know you're going to get a quality team every night. And McKendree's one of those teams. We got to do a great job being able to take away some of their guys that can really shoot it. We got to be able to protect the rim from some of their guys that can drive it. And then we got to do a great job rebounding, because they're going to have guys that crash and cut. And I think if we can do those things, it's going to allow us then to get out on the offensive end and really be able to move the ball and make them have to guard us.
One of the things that's made them hard to guard is that they've got some size and some length, but they're not necessarily inside players. Or they are, but they also go to the perimeter and shoot the three well. How much of that is still there with this roster that concerns you going into Thursday?
Yeah, you know, they still have some of that, especially because, you know, some of their bigs off the bench are able to pick and pop, even their starting big. You know, he hasn't made a whole lot, but when you start shooting them enough, it makes you feel like you still have to be there in a way. And so they still have bigs that play on the perimeter, roll to the rim. They might not have, you know, what they had last year in their big that transferred out as far as his skill level of what he was able to do, because he was a matchup nightmare to any coach. It's a little different with how they play with their big this year, but he's still just, you know, he's still able to be skilled. He's physical. He's going to be able to kind of get in the post a little bit, but he's going to be able to move that ball in the perimeter to get their guards open.
With that in mind, what do you still want to see from your team as you progress? Like, as we said, you got a lot of positive changes last week. What needs to grow from that? What do you want to see a little bit better when you go into this week? Because I know that's probably still the primary concern, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, offensively, I would say the biggest things we've talked about this week, whether it was watching film or was on the floor, one, we got to really value each possession and take care of the basketball. I think when we do that and we can shoot more shots and not turn the ball over with the skill level we have on the offensive end, is just really good for us. And I think we got to do a great job of taking care of it. The other thing we got to do a great job of on the offensive end is really doing a good job of really moving the basketball. And what I've talked about with our players this week is, when you move the ball with the pass compared to the dribble, you make the defense have to cover a lot more ground. And sometimes we get a little happy with the dribble and want to put it on the floor a little bit more than we need to. And I think if we can keep buying into moving that ball with the pass, moving bodies with cuts, with movement, I think it opens up possessions for us later on. And that's when we're going to get some of those easy paint twos or some of those easy kick out threes. I think that will be important. And then be able to have some of those energy plays. I think when you're at home, you have to be able to give the crowd something to kind of cheer about, if that's getting on the loose ball, if that's going to the offense rebounds and crashing, or if that's just having great ball movement. I think the crowd recognizes when you really move the ball and get a good shot, that's good basketball and it's fun to watch. And I think that's something we got to keep working on getting back to, like we had kind of over that Thanksgiving break where the ball just moved and the ball found the open guy. Defensively, I think we got to do a great job of really protecting the paint, being able to take away anything easy at the rim and forcing – you know, the offensive team into their second or third option, not giving them option number one. And I think if we can do a great job rebounding the basketball and protecting the paint and then taking away some of their good shooters, I think we put ourselves in a good position on Thursday against McKendree.
After that is Maryville on Saturday, and you talk about not being able to judge teams by their records, and they kind of typify that. There's several that do. In fact, Missouri St. Louis, I think, started the year 0-for, didn't win a game in November, and was maybe 0-6 or something until they got to conference play. Now they can't lose, at least in league play. They're right around the top of the conference standings. Maryville with a new head coach, so probably struggled to try to get a system and kind of learn the roster a little bit and roles and all that stuff. But they're rolling now. I mean, they've kind of now gotten going after it looked kind of bleak for them to start. They're starting to put together something now.
Yeah, you know, I think like you mentioned, college basketball is a long season, and there's a lot of ups and downs throughout the year for a lot of teams. Some teams start out hot, and then they kind of can hit a rough patch. Some teams start out cold, and then they really find it, you know, in that middle of that season. And I think Maryville is one of those teams that they might have struggled early on. Obviously, new coach, new system, a lot of new guys. But he's done a good job being able to kind of force those guys to keep working hard and keep buying in. And they're going to be a quality opponent come Saturday. They're going to have some guys that can really get downhill and score. They're going to have some guys that can shoot it. Then they got some guys that can play around the rim. And so we just got to do a great job come Saturday being able to know personnel, know what they're trying to get. But at the end of the day, I think the teams that play the hardest and really compete on each possession, I think those are the teams in our league that end up winning at the end of the game, because a lot of the games are close, and I think it's those couple winning plays that happen, maybe not even at the end of the game, but throughout a game, that allows teams to have that success. And I think if we can start winning some of those 50-50 battles, start winning the rebound battle, I think it puts us in a tough position or a good position come that end of the game to be able to have some success.
Some Springfield ties, by the way, with their head coach. Not just ties, he's a native Springfieldian. Preston Ingram, the head coach at Maryville, he's in his first year there. He played at Parkview High School in Springfield. That's where Elijah Wintley went. And Ingram was on, I think, a state quarterfinal team with Parkview, one of their best teams in the late 1990s. Went to Evangel, was on their national championship team at Evangel in 2002, and has had a coaching career with he's had some stops at several places, and tied to a guy you might know in Rodney Perry, who's been an assistant at Kansas State. Mm-hmm. They coached together at Avila and in the AAU system in Kansas City. And then he's also kind of tied to Coach Brock at Illinois Springfield, as he was Coach Brock's assistant at Missouri Baptist, then was the head coach when Coach Brock moved to Illinois Springfield in our conference, had some good success at Missouri Baptist, now in his first year at Maryville, and he'll be returning to Springfield. Now, I don't think it's the first time he's been to Springfield as a head coach. I think he brought Missouri Baptist down here a few times to play either Mission or Evangel, but his first time as head coach at Maryville, coming back to his hometown and coaching the Saints. So that'll be part of what will be in store on Saturday when the Panthers take on Maryville Saturday afternoon at the O. Talking with Drury assistant coach Mark Sonnen, this is the Drury Basketball Coaches Show live from the Pitch Pizza and Pub. When we return, we'll get him ready. Ricky Reek will join us, the Drury forward, coming up when we return after this timeout from the Pitch. We are back at the Pitch Pizza and Pub. This is the Drury Basketball Coaches Show, and we welcome you to the Pitch here in the Southern Hills Shopping Center and invite you down. We're here each Tuesday with the Drury Basketball Coaches Show and back here at 6 next week with the women's squad. We said Drury's back at home again. We've got home games on Thursday night against McKendree, Saturday afternoon against Maryville, and women's game that day starts at 1, men's game to follow at 3. And we've teamed up with Cox Health and the Deanne White Women's and Children's Hospital for a special promotion on Saturday. Bring a stuffed animal to the game, a teddy bear. It'll be our teddy bear toss that'll take place at halftime of both games. So toss a stuffed animal to the court, and those will be donated to that Women's and Children's Hospital at Cox Health as comfort toys to children who are hospitalized there. Bring a teddy bear or stuffed animal to the game on Saturday. You get also a free ticket voucher for the future game later on this year. We are joined now by 6'9" forward Reek Reek out of Rochester, Minnesota, in his second year with the Drury Panthers. Did you have a stuffed animal growing up? Did you have a favorite one? You know what? A Nerf ball counts if you had a Nerf ball. That's stuffed enough.
I did not. I wish I did, though. A young boy didn't need no teddy bears to sleep. You know what I mean? I was tough enough to go to bed without one.
Sure. Nerf ball still counts if you had one of those to throw around and kick. That's like a stuffed thing until you left it out in the rain and it gets really hard. But that's not. We thank you for joining us on here. I know you've explained this when we've been in front of people and crowds before, but Reek.
Yes, sir.
It's in the Midwest in America. That seems a little unusual. Yes. First name, same as last. From your background, it's not. But explain a little bit of that, of your background and your heritage in getting that name.
Yeah. So my family's from South Sudan. And the same first and last name is really common. So you take the last name will be the name of my father's
right.
father, so my grandfather. I take his name as my last, and the first name's just kind of up to choose. And it's just I know a lot of guys. I know a Dang. There's a Bull in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So first and last name is really common. And it's just, it's weird when you say the people were from America,
right.
obviously, but I didn't know it was weird until I went to school. And so, yeah.
What generation are you or is your family in the United States?
I'm first generation. So
okay.
my parents came here in the late 1990s. They went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. A lot of immigrants go there. I got a lot of family there. So they were there. They met. They actually didn't come here together. They actually met there and then moved to Minnesota,
wow.
where I'm originally from. And then that's kind of how our story started. So I'll be graduating here in May. So I'll be the first college graduate of my family. So that's
wow.
a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. A business degree is what you're pursuing, or
yes,
what
sir.
Specifically?
It's integrated business, so it's like a split between econ and marketing. Econ
wow.
and marketing, yep.
What are you interested in doing?
So I like to speak to people, you know, so I'd say sales in one way. Coach Shannon is trying to give me the coach. Maybe I'll pursue that route. But, yeah, something in sales. Preferably.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of people come through Drury, especially basketball players that have gone that route.
Yep.
Moving on from here with the degree that you're
yep.
pursuing that have had a lot of success. So there's a potential pipeline.
Yes, sir.
That hopefully that you can have a chance to take advantage of and be a part of, which is exciting. How much are you still connected? You say family from the South Sudan. Have you ever had a chance to go back there? Is it still something that your family is connected to, or is it pretty much all in the States now?
No, we're really connected. My dad goes back. He tries to go back every year. And he's been trying to get us to go, but we've been in school every year, so
right.
it's kind of hard to go. He goes during the wintertime, usually in February, March. So he's talking about – every time we talk on the phone, he talks about after I graduate, he wants to take us back home. We have a lot of family, you know, a lot of family back there, and he wants us to meet us and not be so disconnected because, you know, we live – across the globe from each other.
Right.
So, yeah, I think once I graduate, I'll definitely go back.
So you went to a junior college coming out of Rochester, Minnesota.
Yep.
How did you find Drury? How did Drury find you in terms of your recruitment and how you landed to become a Panther?
Yeah, so my little brother actually went to the prep school, We Are United Prep, in down in Battlefield. At the basketball movement. So when I graduated from my junior college, I had a couple of schools on my list, but my brother had told me that, you know, his coach, Coach Rob, who passed away mm-hmm. last August, that he could help me find a school. So I came down here and worked out with them for a while. I was here for about a month, and then he told me Drury was going to come watch me in an open gym. So Coach Foster, Coach Sonnen, and Coach Carr came in the gym, played for about an hour, and then after I went on a visit with Coach Shana the next day, and they offered me, and I committed immediately. Didn't want to pass the opportunity to grade school.
What have you liked about Drury in your time here? It's been a year and a half, and your journey is kind of hard to believe probably for you that it's winding down in a few months,
yep.
kind of in the dog days of the basketball season.
Yep.
So you may not see the light to the end of that tunnel yet, but what have you liked about the journey here so far?
I think it's in a great town, a lot of great people. The junior college I came from actually has 15,000 people.
Wow.
And so coming to a big town was something that I really enjoyed. And then trying to, like Coach Foster says all the time, trying to rebuild the program. I think that's a fun thing to do is – you know, trying to be part of the change in a program that's been struggling recently, but trying to put that next foot forward and be part of something that's really big. The tradition of Drury basketball is really big, so I think I enjoyed that a lot. And then my teammates, you know, I met a lot of lifelong friends here, and that's the biggest thing.
It's amazing, too, that the connection with Coach Yanders, because I know there's so many on the roster with
yeah.
kind of We Are United Prep by their name,
mm-hmm.
that prep school that he started with the basketball movement. So, not part of that, but still connected to
yeah.
it. Just about everybody on this roster is a part of that, which is kind of a neat thing because mm-hmm. It kind of shows those connections and a bond that happened before jury that has you here. And that's got to be special to you, at least being able to see it kind of around it. This seems like a tight-knit group that makes kind of part of that, doesn't it?
100%. I think Coach Rob was a special person. You know, I only got to know him for a month, but he completely changed my life. And he changed my family's life because he took my brother, who actually wasn't – he was kind of the same boat as me. He was a really good player, but he was floating around. And then once he got around Coach Rob, completely changed the trajectory of my life and his life and our families. And he's put a lot of people in position in colleges and free school. And then, yeah, like you said, a lot of our guys on our team have known each other for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier to be around them and, you know, hold guys accountable because you've known them for a long time. So I know the effect of Coach Rob will never go unseen. He's changed a lot of lives.
Where's your brother now?
He's at Fairfield. He actually played with Zach at Milwaukee last year. He was a redshirt, but now he's at Fairfield University.
That's back east, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
But half the continent away. You able to stay in touch with him?
Yeah.
Or at least maybe able to catch him on some cable outlet every now and then?
Yeah.
ESPN Plus, those type things, they've got a lot of games. Sometimes you can catch some odd schools there.
Yeah. My roommate, Elijah, he has Hulu Plus, so they got the Fairfield games running on there, so we can watch them. Every time we're not in practice or a game, we turn on to make sure if he's playing, we're watching. So, yeah, I get to watch him here and there.
Yeah, is it hard to keep up with him and family during the season?
Yeah, it is. Cause I got my own thing going on. You know, when you're in college and playing basketball, you kind of forget that you have family and people who actually care about you. So I always try and call them once in a while to make sure they know that I'm still thinking about them, but I'm just doing my own thing.
And his own travel is going to be different, but the same. And ours has been complicated. You've got to be used to snow, but it's never fun. At least to be in a bus traveling through it the way we have for the last 2 weeks. Hopefully done with that for a while. Mm-hmm. You mentioned kind of being part of a rebuilding team. While you're kind of in a tough patch right now, you got to feel like definitely the way last week went, that this team is really close to turning a corner. How close do you think it is?
Yeah, I said it in film the other day. We're so much closer than you think. If you look at a few of our last games, I mean, they're less than 5-point games with 5 minutes left. And I think me and Garrett or my teammate talk about all the time about, like, getting over the hump. And it's just – I think once we can turn that corner, we can be a whole different team. And from the outside looking in, you don't – you probably think, wow, Jury's losing a lot. But, like, we're so close. A couple balls bounced here, a couple offensive rebounds here, a couple – at William Jewell, we missed a couple wide-open layups. That's just – it's part of the hump, you know, and trying to get over it because – when you're trying to rebuild, you have to get over – there's a lot of things. It's little things, you know what I mean? There's little things you got to get over. And I think if we can win here on McKendree Thursday and look like the team looked like the last couple games, we can really turn that corner.
Talking to Jury forward, Reek, with the Jury Panthers, what excites you about what this team can do potentially? Like what you see the strengths of this squad are? Because, again, got a month and a half to go and a lot of basketball and the potential to make up – not just make up some ground, but to make some noise too. Where do you think that could happen with what you see on this roster?
I think if you watch, we're a really good half-court defensive team. I think that's probably our calling. We can turn teams over. You know, when we share the ball on the offensive end, I mean, we're really hard to guard. We've shown that the last couple games. Shots might not go in, but they're good shots. And then I think putting ourselves in the position to get in the tournament because – like Coach Sean had said, S&T's number 15 in the country, but it was a game for a while, you know. So I think just not letting go of the rope as a team, I think putting ourselves in position to get in the tournament, and once that happens, you know, anything can happen in tournament play. So I think once we, like I said, get over that hump and win a game and then start getting this thing rolling, I think it could be scary.
You are 6'9 with a wingspan, so somebody gets in the lane, you're not an easy guy to get a shot around over. What energizes you more as a player? Making a stop or a block or maybe throwing one down through the rim with a dunk? What gets you going more?
I think getting a stop, especially turning a team over or blocking a guy, is because it gives energy to everybody. You know, when you score, it sometimes only gives energy to yourself, but I think I like getting a stop more than anything because I can get our guys going, you know. Getting an offensive rebound gets me going too, but I think those effort plays get me going on the defensive end.
Sure, could see that. It's also probably a tad more demoralizing when you're the other side and you get something blocked. Sure. I don't want to go in there again.
Yes, sir.
Talking with Reek, Drury Panthers forward out of Rochester, Minnesota. Played fantastic the last few games. Going to be exciting to see what's more for you. Hope you can keep this up, and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Drury forward Reek on the Drury Basketball Coaches Show. We're at the Pitch Pizza and Pub on East Sunshine. Back with more when we return. We are back at the Pitch Pizza and Pub on East Sunshine here in the Southern Hills Shopping Center, home of the Drury Basketball Coaches Show. Again, head coach Chris Foster has been out with the flu, but we just got a moment to go to speak with forward Reek, and now with assistant coach Mark Sonnen once again. One thing is for sure, it'll be great to be back at home. Haven't had a home game in a month. Finally back on the O'Reilly Family Event Center floor on Thursday night, then with another home game on Saturday. Four straight road games coming out of the holiday break. That's been hard. Weather has made it even harder. but it's also the semester began yesterday, so the spring semester underway, so a little bit of normalcy finally coming back. That's going to have to energize you and the rest of this group.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, with college kids on having a routine. So I think it's going to actually help us getting back into school, having a routine that you're doing every day. Sometimes you get on break, and college guys love break because you don't got class, right? But I think having that class and having that structure for young men, I think, is very important. And so I think that's going to help us actually, not only in the classroom, obviously, but on the basketball court, because I think, you know, we get those regular routines down, guys start doing the same things each day, and I think it starts to build those habits that can be really good for you.
Yeah, it's funny when you talk to some players, I ask, you know, hey, is this great? I mean, you only have basketball to worry about for almost a month sometimes between – during that part between semesters, and some of them actually come back around and say, I kind of like having that routine of practice at the same time every day, classes and a pattern to the week, and then the Thursday-Saturday pattern to the basketball schedule in terms of when games are played. So to some, it's kind of a surprising relief. Some of you say, I don't stay out of class as much as possible.
Yep.
But no, that's back there, and it'll be good to have the semester going, and we'll look forward to being at home. And thanks for the visit tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That's assistant coach Mark Sonnen on a part of our Drury Basketball Coaches Show on this Thursday from the Pitch Pizza and Pub. Again, we'll be joined by the Drury Lady Panthers staff next week from here. Again, we're here each Tuesday during the basketball season from the Pitch. Hope you can make it out and join us for some great food, a chance to talk basketball, and have some fun with us here at the Pitch. A couple of other reminders as well. Our next basketball luncheon at the O'Reilly Family Event Center, not till the 27th of January, but that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Had the last one postponed or canceled anyway by the inclement weather, but those will begin again at noon in the Lair in the O'Reilly Family Event Center. Again, that's Monday, January 27th for our next one. $13 gets you a great buffet-style lunch. And then hear from both head basketball coaches, get a chance to meet players from both the Panthers and Lady Panthers on our Monday luncheons at the O'Reilly Family Event Center. Hope to see you out at the O on Thursday night. We're on the air with broadcast coverage at 5:30. Tip-off for the women's game is at 5:45. Hope you can help out the Rebound Foundation and be a part of that great cause on Thursday. And then Saturday afternoon, the women's game begins at 1, men's game to follow at 3. Bring a stuffed animal, a teddy bear, to toss on the floor at either the women's game at halftime or the men's halftime. You'll get a free ticket voucher for a future Drury basketball game at the O later on this season. You'll be helping out the Deanne White Women's and Children's Hospital run by Cox Health. Again, that's on Saturday when Drury takes on Maryville. We hope to get head coach Chris Foster well as he's ailing from the flu. Hope to see him out there on Thursday. Our thanks to Reek and to Mark Sonnen for joining us on our Drury Basketball Coaches Show. And as always, thank you for tuning in as well. Again, we'll next greet you Thursday, 5:30 from the O. Until then, this is Ed Beach. Good night, everybody.